Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Left of Straight Show with your host, Scott Fullerton, as we discuss everything under the rainbow sun, from LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books. Join us as we talk to some of the most interesting leaders and celebrity LGBT guests and allies on the internet. So grab a cocktail, it's always happy hour somewhere, and enjoy the show. Now, here's your host, Scott Fullerton.
Howdy, howdy, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Left of Straight Show. I am your host, Scott Fullerton. Thanks so much for coming along today. It is Tuesday, January 31st, last day of the first month of 2017. Time flies when you're having fun, kids. Well, welcome to the show, everyone. It's going to be a great day today. If you were able to listen to yesterday's show, we have the amazing creators of the graphic novel Daylight Sucks. It's inspired by cast members of great telenovelas on TV, and it's about some vigilante vampires that I got to chat with the actress Katie Barbieri and her fiancé Craig Hurley all about it yesterday. Ordered it myself. I'm a huge comic freak. It's a great-looking graphic novel. They're vigilante vampires against all things LGBT, animal rights, environment, just children, so many great things. And the vampire Max, who is in charge of protecting LGBT and equality, is pretty good looker. So yeah, great show yesterday. Today, we're going to have a huge show on. I have six people calling in today, so we could be talking over each other a little bit, but it's going to be a lot of fun, guys. We have the creators of Gossip Boy and three of the actors. We have three creators and three actors calling in, all about Gossip Boy, the series. It's a web series that if you haven't seen yet, you just got to see. You're going to love it. It has a third season premiere coming up next month, so we'll be talking to them in a bit. Tomorrow, my buddy Gaetano Jones, he's the actor and singer from 3 Day Weekend and a bunch of other things. He'll stand on my soapbox with me as we do our current event show tomorrow at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern time. This is your call-in show. You can call in and talk about the news of the week. We have a lot to talk about in politics, obviously. And, of course, we always talk a little LGBT news and pop culture. So you are more than welcome to call in on that show tomorrow afternoon, talk to me and Gaetano on things, topics we're talking about, or you can bring your own to the show. It's a lot of fun. I want to give a big shout out again to True FM Online. They carry the show in Columbus, Ohio for me. Great group of people over there, Curtis and all his staff. And then On the Rocks Radio with Alexander Rodriguez, great friend of the show, great media partner with us. And, of course, I have Tony Guadagnino, who helps out on my social media. So thanks for that, Tony. Alexander had a great show last night at Rockwell Table and City. If you're able to see it, everyone's raving about it. And tonight, if you're in L.A., gosh, I need to get back to L.A., my buddy Terry Ray is premiering his short play, Vote, at Artists Rise Up Los Angeles. It's 7 p.m. tonight at the El Portal Theater in Los Angeles. They're raising money for five different. One of them is the Council on Islamic American Relations that is so much in the news right now that all the airports are suing the airport. One of their cases had the stay of the courts to stop Donald Trump's executive order. So it's going to be a great show tonight. If you're out in the LA area, be sure to go and check that out. What else do we have to talk about today? We talked a little bit about yesterday that it was very kind of, there was a lot of news sources saying that Trump was going to reverse a lot of the LGBT protections that Obama had put out in an executive order. Well, it comes out today, he's not going to reverse any of the job discriminations that Obama put in place. So we got a step in the right direction. Still not sure if there's anything to be down the line, and we're just Liberty and all that kind of fun stuff. But we did get our first little glimmer of good news today, so that's always great. Also, Walgreens Pharmacy, which is where I get all my mom's prescriptions for when I'm taking care of her, they have a new ad campaign. It's a 10-year cycle of real people living with HIV, including a lot of gay people, and it's in the 10-year cycle of what happens with the disease, and they're featuring it very prominently on their website. Good on them. It's called Let's Grow Old, the other campaign. If you want to check them out, I love Walgreens. They've been very good to the LGBT community. This is a great campaign. Yesterday, we also found out that the Boy Scouts are going to allow transgender boys into the Boy Scouts, as long as the parent puts down boy, regardless of what their birth certificate says, puts down boy on their application, any transgender boys are going to be invited into the Boy Scouts. So they're slowly moving forward, and it's becoming a great thing. So good on them for that. The new Beauty and the Beast movie trailer is out. If you can't wait to see the live action of that with, of course, we have Emma from Harry Potter, which you know I'm a huge Harry Potter fan. That'll be coming out soon. And all sorts of – so let's go right to it, though, because I'm going to bring back the creator, the original creator, the director and writer of Gossip Boys. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with him. And I want to start off by playing the theme song for the first couple seasons. It's done by Justin Mortitolidi. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I have to get that from him. I asked everyone's pronunciation but that. But when we finish that up, we're going to be back in just a couple minutes, and we're going to have the creator of Gossip Boy, Paul Storiel, on the line. This is Paul from Justin Mortitolidi, and we'll be back. You're listening to Left of Straight Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. All righty, and we are back. That was Justin Mortolini with The Fall. Guys, I got a big introduction here because we have a great show for you today. I'm so excited to have we're bringing on the creators and cast of the hit web series Gossip Boy. The series basically takes the concept like you see in the CW channel dramas, but it gets rid of all that fluff that you don't really care about and breaks it down into like great 8 to 10 minute episodes on the web. The first two seasons follow the story of Jairus as he leaves home at 18 and finds people to love and people in his life along this journey. It's both drama and mystery, love stories, and secrets. Season 3 is getting ready to premiere on February 14th, and I'm so happy to get to be able to find out some insight of all these cliffhangers that we're left with at the end of Season 2. I'm going to bring in series creator Paul Storiali to give us an overview in just a couple of seconds, and then we'll have longtime producer, writer-director Bree Pavey, director Charlie Vaughn. We have Season 3 newcomers Alex Polson, Nathan Shoup, and Preston Bailey on as well. So first, let's welcome to the show creator, writer, and director of Gossip Boy, the series, Paul Storiali. Paul, how are you?
Hey, Scott. Thank you so much for having us. Really appreciate it.
I'm excited to have you on. We're going to have so many people on today. I think we have everybody holding, so that's great. Everyone's able to call in. It's going to be a fun show.
Oh, that's so exciting. I'm so glad everybody took the time to call in.
Well, I am a huge fan of the show. I've been watching since the beginning. It got such great reviews, and I'm just a web series fiend. I love it, and I think it's just been a lot of fun. You did great work creating this, but let's start with your background a little bit. I know you're from the Chicago area. What got you interested in making movies and got in the entertainment business?
Yeah, well, I've always been an actor first. I am from Chicago, where I actually I was in a show called Tony and Tina's Wedding for 4 years out there. It ran there for 20. It's actually running again now, but and then I've just always been an actor. Moved to LA. You know, things were slow, so I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna write. And this was before, you know, about the time web series started really happening. And I had had a film that I wrote in Chicago, and we shot it. Actually, we shot the film, and then we lost some of the footage. So a friend of mine, Jason Lockhart, was running a web site called webisope.com, and he said, "Do you have something that would fit this?" And I said, well, I have this movie I wrote called Reverse Karma. I could turn it into a web series. And so I just took the characters and the storyline, and I wrote it, you know, rewrote a little bit of it to fit his, you know, webisope.com. He had a show called Vampire Secrets already, and he produced it, with the help of Bree Pavey, she was a force behind it all. We created Gossip Boy.
That is awesome. Well, it's been, like I said, such a fun show. Now, where did the idea come from? Did you kind of want to do the serialized version from something you saw on TV, or was it just different characters? These characters, any part of your life at all, or how did this all come about?
You know, when I was in my early 20s. The first time, you know, there's a lot of drama in your early 20s when you're meeting the right people, you know, you're meeting the right friends, and you kind of, you get sucked in on the BS, and so I thought I need to write a film about this, and so that's how that came about, just the people that I had known. In fact, some of the characters are, you know, real people that I knew, just changed their names a little bit, kind of mixed the stories up with, you know, sometimes things that happen in real life, no one's going to believe, so you have to make it a little bit more believable.
right.
and even though you made it more believable, they still don't believe it. Yeah, that's where the story came from, just lots of stories can come from your early 20s.
This is true, especially in the LGBT world. We have lots of stories. And then when you
That's
come out
right.
later in life, you have your 20 stories in your 30s and 40s. It's a crazy world we live in, but it's fun.
That's
so
it.
That's cool.
But yeah, that's where it all came from. It was really an honor for Jason to have given me the opportunity to create this. And then when Bree jumped on the project almost immediately, it's Lily Tomlin said something at the SAG Awards the other night that really rang true. You're standing on someone's shoulders, all the time. You're always standing on somebody's shoulders, and Bree
right.
and Charlie and all the actors. And if it wasn't for them all, and Jason and that crew in the first season, man, our cinematographer in the first two seasons, Olivia Kwan, if it wasn't for them, this wouldn't happen. So, when you say creator, it was really created by everybody. I'm just the idea guy.
Gotcha. All right, well, what we're going to do, we're going to kind of change things up a little bit, because as you are all working actors in LA, of course, we know that Preston, who is a newcomer to the season three, he's got something going on in his acting life here. Let's bring him onto the show real quick. And I want you to go ahead and introduce him and his character for me.
So Preston plays he plays the younger version of a character we briefly, momentarily saw in the first season, and mostly talked about, but we did get a glimpse of him, Shannon.
Well, Preston, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me. It's a real pleasure.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on. Like I said, I've been a fan of the show when Paul told me about your character. I'm so into the show. It's like I have all these little questions I'm going to be asking later on. It's like he told me, okay, you're from an earlier part, and now I'm all freaked out. I don't know what you're doing. But how exciting is it to come into the season three here?
It's a phenomenal experience to work with such a great group of people. Paul is phenomenal. I've known Paul for multiple years now through the theater company he runs. And just like Paul said, the group of people that he's gotten together for Gossip Boy really makes the whole show. We couldn't have done it without everyone.
Very cool. Now we're going to find Paul kind of hinted you are a younger version of someone that we've met before. Where did you watch the series before? Were you able to see this, kind of know where you were going for in this, or what are you bringing to the character?
Me, myself, I try to bring personal parallels to my own life, to Shannon itself. But I don't know how much Paul wants to give it away or say anything about Shannon itself, but I have followed Gossip Boy.
Be careful.
All right, there it is. So I don't want to say too much, but just know that Shannon's one of the wild cards.
Gotcha. I love it. And Paul, what was it about Press that you thought would be great for this role?
Well, it's an interesting story. This character
be careful,
was supposed
Paul.
To be this character Shannon. What did he say?
He told you to be careful now.
This character was supposed to be very a very much larger character, but there was a schedule conflict with one of the actors, so we had to rewrite, and then. So I fixed everything that needed to be fixed, and I had been working with Preston, like he said, for a long time, and perfect for him and perfect for us, and he could do it, and he fit right into the character, and everyone is going to love this guy. He's kind of silly and goofy too. He's got a serious side, but he's silly and goofy. They're going to have a lot of fun with this character that Preston created.
All right, well, I have my guesses because you sent me over your – I didn't know you before, Preston. You sent me over your picture, and I have a guess who you are, but I can't – I won't say anything, but I'm hoping who I think you are. But I know you have to go. I just wanted to thank you so much on the show before you had to leave. You're going to have to come back to the show sometime and talk about when we're in the middle of the season here, okay?
I will, and looking forward to it, and thank you so much for having me.
No problem. We really appreciate it. Guys, we're going to be back with the entire group here. We're going to bring Bree and Nathan, Alex, Charlie on in just a couple of seconds. Let's play. They're having, it looks like a new, is this a new theme song for season three, Paul?
It's not a new theme song. No, it's not. But we're talking with Justin about using it for a special moment in the season.
Well, this is Justin Mortinetti. He put out this new single, Hello Alive, combined song. It's fantastic. We're going to play a little bit of this. When we come back, we're going to have the cast and crew of Gossip Boys, the series on. You're listening to the Left of Straight show right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Before the world fell at our feet, I had a one-way ticket to a place where all the demons go.
righty, and we are back. That was Paul Morton. God, say that for me again, Paul. I mess it up every time. I'm having a bad day with names.
Justin, yes. Justin Mortaliti, Mortaliti.
Okay, at least I'm not the only one there. I feel a little better then. Go find him on iTunes, guys. Back with creator of Gossip Boy, the series, Paul Sorial, and his fellow creators and actors. Let's welcome the show. We have, first off, I want to welcome Bree Pavey. Bree, how are you tonight?
Hi, Scott. How are you? Thank you so much for having us.
So excited to have you. You've been with the show near the beginning there, haven't you? And you're also now producing and directing and co-writing and all that fun stuff?
Yeah, you know, I was very fortunate to work with Paul in the first two seasons as a co-writer and a director. In season two, I got to have a brief little cameo in one of the episodes. And this season, Paul handled all the writing and the directing with Charlie. I just got to act in a few episodes, which was really cool.
That's amazing. We'll have to talk about that more in a bit. Let's go ahead and welcome Charlie on. This is Charlie Vaughn. He directed the terrific Vampire Boys movie. Which, this was before all the shirtless vampire guys on Here TV. But Charlie, you directed one episode in season one, and you're on a couple episodes in season three, right?
Yeah, that's right, Scott. And the ironic thing about Vampire Boys is that's exactly how I met Paul and Bree and everybody else, because I had cast Jason Lockhart in the lead of Vampire Boys, and then Jason said, "Oh, I've got this." You know, I adore Jason, and I'm not making fun of him, but he said, "Oh, I know this gay guy who's into film and theater as well. Maybe you know him. His name's Paul." And that was my introduction. And and doing the episode in season one, I met Olivia Kwan, who was the director of photography, and she went on to be my go-to director of photography for almost every feature that I've directed since then. So when Paul said, "Hey, are you interested in, you know, directing some episodes in season three?" I hesitated for about 2 seconds before I answered with yes, and I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to direct anytime, but also for the people I've met through my association with Paul.
That is awesome. And along with Shannon, we have two new characters we're going to be talking to today. We have Joshua, played by Alex Polson. Alex, I was able to find some stuff. You've been on Here TV and ABC Studios Productions, and you were at the Steppenwolf Theater Company for a while. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I'm good, good, good. Thanks for having me.
Well, tell me about it. Tell me a little bit about your character.
Yeah, so, I mean, just like, you know, Paul hit on before, you know, pulling from his own life, I found parallels from my own life, like breakups and friendships and stuff like that really made this resonate well with me. I mean, character-wise, just like essentially a group of friends who are trying to get through, like, life and L.A. and work and relationships and promiscuity and all that stuff and the emotions and feelings that come with it. Specific to my character, I think he's kind of the guy who masks his sadness or other stuff with, you know, some negativity and comedy and stuff like that, never really showing his true colors except to certain people and other characters within the show. So it was a fun character to play for sure.
That is awesome. I can't wait to see how you do it. And then we have Nathan Shoup. You're be playing Andrew. Is that right, Nathan? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I am playing the role of Andrew.
And tell me a little bit about your character. Give us a little sneak.
Andrew is I like to think of him as a sensitive soul, and he likes to immerse himself into situations that are a bit too big for his emotional range, I think.
Wow, that's going to be kind of fun.
Yeah,
but Paul, you left so many cliffhangers at the end of season two. I mean, we have three gunshots going on. We have all sorts of new character development. What are we looking forward to here in season three, my friend?
You know, it's funny because I'm listening to them explain their character with a hint of fright of if they're going to say something wrong. And I think
I'm trying to keep the spoilers. I'm trying to keep the spoilers away.
For sure. Look, there's a lot of secrets, and in fact, I'm a very secretive person. There were a lot of questions on set this season. Is this and I know what's really going to happen, but I can't tell them that because I really like to at the premiere for them to be also shocked at what happens in season one at the end when Nathan's accused of killing somebody. We had the police officer. He says, "Who did I murder?" And the police officer says, "Devin Potter." Well, we had the police officer say every name of the cast so that nobody in
didn't
the cast
you really?
Knew
okay,
who,
very cool.
See, but that's
was.
The thing. We don't even know what's going to happen, so it's hard for us to talk about it when we're afraid of what our characters are going to go through.
You're a sneaky little creator. And now, Bree, how is it with you with this? Because I thought it was very cool that, like you said, the end of the season one, we have this big arrest scene. And, of course, season two doesn't talk about it at all until the season finale. This is well plotted out. You're part of the writing. How did you get yourself in Paul's mind here? How exciting was that for you?
The great thing about working with Paul is he always knows where he wants to end up. He always knows where the story goes. And he's so good at collaborating and saying, like, I want to get us from point A to point B. What do you think are interesting ways to do that? And so, you know, we would kick stuff around back and forth, and there were so many nights. Paul and I have been friends for going on a decade now. And, you know, so many nights we would just have all these script pages literally all spread out on the living room floor. And we'd pick a page up, and we'd walk over, and we'd move it next to page 10, even though it was page 30. And then we'd grab page 18 and move it to the beginning and make it page 1. I mean, flow charts, color-coded, the writing of this thing is crazy because he knew that he wanted to work with this, you know, very specific model in terms of the timeline. And so being able to tell a story with cohesion that also didn't give it away was really challenging. But Paul always knew where he wanted to end. Yeah, and to keep everyone's interest. But you know, yeah. I really credit that to Paul with knowing, you know, how to keep people engaged and how to keep the story kind of rocking along in a way that just it never got old. It never got boring.
Yeah.
And, Charlie, how do you guys shoot this? It sounds like it's shot like a movie where you're just doing different scenes, not necessarily in order. How is it for you to bring all these scenes together?
Yeah, it was what happened was we shot it something called block shooting, where typically in a movie, the way you block shoot is either you do you do one location and you shoot all that, you shoot that location out, or you shoot a particular actor out. So what Paul had done was he had secured the locations, and then any scene that took place at the Gay and Lesbian Center was shot on one day, and anything that took place at the cafe and things like that. The hard thing for me to wrap my head around is Paul sent me the entire season. I read it. I loved it. And then I focused on my my particular episodes. And I got to say, like, a few times I went up to Paul and apologized for my deer in the headlights look, because you know, the cast will be coming in to set up for a scene, and I'm looking at it going, I don't know what this is. And then Paul would say, like, this isn't your scene. This isn't your episode. Go, you know, you've got a 2-hour break or something. So I felt a little, you know, behind the eight ball a few times, but it really worked. It really worked nicely. So a lot of the cast I didn't have much interaction with. Like, I don't think I directed Bree at all, though I you know, passed her a few times on some of the shoot dates. And then Alex and Nathan, I had the good fortune of, you know, directing a bulk of their stuff. So it was, it was a block shooting deal.
That is cool. I love that. Now, Paul, one of the interesting things I found about you and also lead character Daniel LaRoche, you guys are both comedy people, and this has some great, like, farcical comedy, but this is a drama series. How do you sneak your comedy into the show?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked that question. By the way, Daniel Landrock was amazing to work with in season one and two. I can't say whether or not, for sure or not, if he's going to be in season three.
Right.
I can't confirm nor deny that. But yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
He's a very, very funny. We put a video up today, a memory video of when we were on shoot, and I was trying to get him, hey, say something. And he said, I don't have any lines to say anything. he's always very naturally hilarious. And yeah, I do some comedy. In fact, we're spinning off Gossip Boy, here's some big news, into a comedy series.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That is cool. Well, if he does come back, if you bring him back there, and I'm hoping I like either way you go, but if he decides to come back, he was supposed to be going to the Midwest, and I do my show out of Ohio, so I expect to be a special guest star or something if he's still back home. All right, let's see how much trouble we can keep Alex into or out of. What can you tell? Are you a good guy or a bad guy? Do you have a love interest? Talk to me, Alex. What can you
achieve? Well, I think every human being, whether it's the actor or the real human being, thinks of themselves as a good guy. So I think Joshua thinks of himself as good, whether or not he misbehaves and does bad things. That's for everyone else to interpret.
Good
as far as
answer.
Love interest.
Oh, he's a,
as far
he's
as
a
love
bad
interest,
boy.
I think he's
a bad
I think
boy.
He's on the phone.
He's on the phone.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
that's
I'll leave that open-ended, too.
Yeah, we haven't talked in a while.
Yeah. All right, same question to you, Nathan.
Let's just
what
leave
you,
it
what,
there.
What can you tell me, you're the shy boy. You sound like you're the shy boy. The shy boys always get the bad guys. Are you a good guy or shy boy? Tell me about a little bit here. Give me some scoop.
The scoop is, I think that the character of Andrew is very intrigued by the character of Joshua, and the little feud that goes on, and the love hate relationship that happens is really dynamic. I enjoyed working that particular relationship because of it.
Well, I love that, Paul, because you kind of the very first season we had that. Both Nathan and Devin. Devin and Nathan were kind of best friends, but had an adversarial relationship due to what happened with them, but it didn't really get explored that much. It sounds like he got to be a little evil with the drug scene, but it sounds like he could play with this one a little bit from what Nathan said.
Yeah, well, you know, it's with those two. You know, you have those friends who, to get what they are the nicest person in the world, but to get what they want, they become this evil person. If you notice in season one, Devin, at first, nobody likes him. He's the bad guy. But then in season two, it flips. You know, when you want something and you'll do what you have to do to get it, you become the bad guy. And that's what it's about. It's about territory.
Right. And Bree, are we going to see Rhonda in this? Is she coming back in season three? Are you allowed to say?
Yes. Maybe she is.
You can say.
Paul and I are not in the same room. And usually when we do these, we're sitting in the same room. And so I can read his expressions before I answer things.
There you go. I got you. It's a little more difficulty here in separate rooms. I understand that. Well,
let's
I told
just say that nobody wants to be on Paul's bad side here.
I killed three people.
We're gonna get some
characters in season two. They're afraid.
Yeah, nobody wants to get killed off.
That's not what we want, exactly.
Okay, well, this is a horrible thing. I have all of your phone numbers now. I'm going to be stalking you now, and I'm going to be sending little texts. Okay, come on, give me some real scoop.
No, Scott. I do want to say something. You guys can say whatever you want because I promise you, you probably don't know what's going to happen. So you are free to say whatever you want. In fact, we have more shoot dates. We have more shoot dates, Scott, that nobody knows we have.
But
even at that, my character appears in, I don't know, 4 of the episodes that we shot, but I never saw anything that Nathan shot. I have no idea what any of his scenes are. He was never in any of my scenes.
We know I got to let Alex off here in a couple of seconds, so let's let Alex talk a little bit. What brought you – were you aware of the show before you auditioned for it, or how did you meet Paul and how did you audition for this part?
Yeah, I met Paul like maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I auditioned for a play that he wrote called Dysfunctional Family Christmas. So I did that, and I spent some time in Chicago too. We never knew each other in Chicago, but I think fellow Chicago thespians have a same work ethic and – idea of what they like and how to do things. So we connected on that right away, and I did another year of Dysfunctional Family Christmas, another play with Paul, and always kind of like relied on him for other industry questions with him being in LA for a lot longer than I. So like he kind of became a little mentor of sorts for me for that, and whenever little projects or large projects came up, he always sought me out. This was one of them. So, and I've always appreciated his writing, so I knew it was going to be good.
Nice. And how much do you say that Joshua is like you? Are you guys similar in some ways? Are you totally different?
Whoa, you went there. That's funny because Paul and I talked a little bit about that too. You know, like, fortunately and unfortunately similar, you know, like going through like recent breakups and stuff like that and comparing how one reacts in the moment and with the sound judgment, you know, and how this character does similar things, you know, and Paul talked about how like all this comes from his life too, similar moments for him. And I mean, I guess the short answer is similar.
Gotcha. Well, I want to thank you for coming on. I know you're the same thing. Actors' lives are busy. Thank you so much for coming on the show, man. And we're looking forward
for sure.
to seeing you in a couple of weeks here. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for having me. It was great. And we'll be in touch.
No problem. Thank you very much. Everybody, that was Alex Polson. We'll have him back on the show with his dad to talk about cooking eventually. Nathan, same question to you. Did you audition for this? Did you just know Paul and he kind of thought you were right for this job? Or what did you think going into your character?
Oh, I had no idea what to expect. I got a quick email, and it was, hey, can we need an actor for this series that I've created. And I went in kind of naive thinking that, oh, I was going to come in as a small part that maybe like acted with a few different people. And then I got the script and I was a little overwhelmed with how large the character was in the series. But I worked with Paul before on his Columbine project. I played Dylan Klebold in that play, and so I knew to some respect of how intense Paul writes characters.
Gotcha. That is awesome. Now, Charlie, what did you find? What kind of directing challenges did you have with the show from season 1 going to season 3? Anything new and different for you, or what was your challenges really exciting for you to do on the show?
I think for me the biggest challenge is I'm a visual person, and so knowing season 1, I refreshed with season 2. I actually rewatched the whole. I read season 3. And then I went back and watched season 1 and 2. And so on the page, the names meant nothing to me just because I didn't have an actor to go with the name, you know? So,
gotcha.
So I was a little bit lost when I first read the first season 3. Then when I went back and started watching season 1 and 2 and seeing how everything ties together, I got very, very, very excited, and started probably blowing up Paul's text messages with questions and just ideas. I think for me, though, is as a when I direct a feature, the vision and everything comes from my head and my DP's head. And since this is a series, and you know, Paul and Brian, the other director, and Curtis, the fourth director, we all have to kind of be on the same page visually. And so that was it wasn't really a challenge. It was actually kind of liberating to just trust Curtis, our DP's vision as well as mine. And I conferred with Brian and Paul on a couple of the locations, because I was the first director up on our first day. And so I wanted to make sure that how I was setting the location did not screw up anything that they had in mind. Like, oh, I don't want them to come in and say, oh, I thought the chair should be over here or stuff like that. So I guess it was more, the challenges were kind of just visual matches, really.
Right. And Paul, one of the things I really like about the show is that it is timeless. There's not really any references to any place in time. You can see, I don't know if you're using some of the sets or the costumes to kind of show older versus younger characters. Is that done intentionally? And I just like the way it's done.
Well, because of season one's plot twist, we had to make sure that it could be at any time. I was watching an episode the other day. I was watching some footage the other day, and I noticed that there was a phone in season two that's already outdated. And it just made me nervous. I don't want it to. We have no, there's very little LGBT series, and I don't want it to be. You know, if you watch, the old TV shows now or soap operas or, from the 90s, they're already old. You can tell they're old from,
right.
The clothes they wear. And, we try to make sure that you can't do time, especially with the new, with the season one plot twist that with those characters, it can be any time 20 years later, as opposed to, we don't want the costume to give anything away.
Right. Very cool. Now, Bree, you work as the managing director of Loft Ensemble out there in LA. What's different? What are your challenges coming to the series? Have you done a web series before, or how was this coming to you? What was anything new and exciting about it, or was it kind of old hat?
Yeah, I mean, producing theater and producing for film or, and TV or web series, they're different and yet they're the same. You have to keep track of a million things and answer a million questions and put out a million fires in both mediums. So it's in the sense of being a producer, it's like being an artist, and today you decide you're going to paint with oils and tomorrow you're going to paint with watercolors. You're still
right.
Painting the same picture. It's just, with a different medium. So as a producer, it's very much the same. As an actor, to me, they're totally different. Theater and film are just completely different requirements and intentions and connections. And, technically, they're very, very different. So, so to go from theater to film, like I said, as a producer, not a lot of difference to me. As an actor, hugely different.
Right. And as actors, Nathan, I think Alex is still on. Talk to me, you guys. I mean, Paul talked earlier about how in this business now, it's so different than it used to be. Everything is kind of, you do have to create a lot of your own stuff as an actor, writer, producer. A lot of my friends that are out in LA say that so much, and social media is such a big deal now. How are you guys going about finding your parts? Is the web series something you like? And social media, how much has that become dependent on your career?
I think that you have to come in swinging big. You got to swing for the fences every time, because there is so much content out there. So you have to come in knowing your place, knowing your part, knowing what you want and what you want to achieve through the character.
And how is casting going now? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Alex.
No, go ahead.
I was thinking, as far as social media, that's been a big struggle for me too, because I fought it for a long time, not wanting to like post where I am, what I'm doing, or be another like shirtless selfie person, you know, because then you're just one of the other million people doing that. So I think for social media out here, yes, it's very important for you to advance your career and get noticed, but finding a way to stand out within that world is the more difficult part.
It's got to be hard, because I can imagine, I mean, you get, it's almost become a joke now. You have your hashtag Instagay, like you said, all it is shirtless selfies and showing yourself in poses anymore. And that's not intriguing to
the art part of it. That's intriguing to like the gawking part of it, which isn't why we do it, you know?
I honestly don't know how people are on their phones constantly posting all the time. And when you're trying to create something, you're in your head going through these circumstances and these situations of you're trying to make it real life. And these people are continuously posting and doing all this stuff. I'm like, they can't have an actual life outside of that.
Right. Well, it's hard just for the show. I mean, I do the show on my own here out of Northeast Ohio, which is the farthest away from Hollywood, New York you can be, obviously. And it's the same thing. It's like you really have to, in order to build your listenership or just to build a viewership, you have to spend so much time on it, but then you need to get the talent and everything else. So I can imagine how difficult it's got to be. Now, Bree, Paul, and Charlie, all you guys talk about, we talked about all these different things. There's so many things now, Netflix and Hulu and all this other stuff. Is there still like a pilot season? Is there still a time where people generally try stuff, or just filmmaking happening every day of the week now?
I mean, our agents and managers like to say that there's a pilot season. Because it's the one time of year that they can make us go get new headshots and new reels and all that stuff. There's not really, I mean, with all of the different forms of new media content, with, like you said, Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime and all of the cable networks, they don't care about quote-unquote pilot season. They're going to make something when they want to make something.
And what's interesting is, you know, we had, especially in season two, we had a couple of actors say, you know, we can't do the show. I can't do the show because of pilot season. But there is no, it's not the same. What are you talking about?
It's just not what it is. It's just not what it used to be when we were talking about new content for just the major networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, maybe still Fox. But once the cable networks began to grow and all began producing their own original content, they weren't necessarily bound by the same rules and restrictions that those primetime networks were. And so they kind of made pilot season, you know, obscure, because it didn't really matter anymore, because now the competition was putting new content out all the time, not on this sort of pre-agreed schedule that the primary networks had.
Well, no one's doing complete seasons anymore. They're doing like 8 episodes, 10 episodes, which means they can release it whenever they want. There's a summer season now. It used to be there was a fall and a winter season. Now, everybody's releasing whenever is appropriate, whether it's socially or politically, for the specific show they're making.
Yeah, splitting their seasons in half.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And I kind of alluded to it in my intro, and it's what I like about webisodes personally, is you are getting rid of all the fluff, because you only have the 8 to 10 minutes to get your stuff across, and so all the scenes kind of mean something. I like that. It makes for good viewing and good filmmaking, so it's kind of cool for me as a consumer.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry about commercials.
True.
And we wanted people with ADD to watch.
and the reality is that an online viewing audience has a much shorter attention span. I mean, the urge to click away, to go over to your Twitter tab or your Facebook tab or your Pinterest tab, where things are constantly changing, where your feed is refreshing, you know, every 7 seconds, there's not enough time to keep someone engaged like they do when they sit in front of the TV. So they have to be short and sweet and succinct, and have to really get it, you know, get the point across and get the message across in a very sort of condensed amount of time.
Gotcha. All right. Well, let's see. Nathan and Al, let's go ahead and let you guys drop off. I'm going to ask a bunch of questions about plot hangers and cliffhangers from season two, and a little bit about the nuts and bolts of the show. Thanks for coming in. Do you want to plug any social media, or thanks for coming on, guys?
Yeah,
yeah,
thanks for having me. Yeah, you can follow me at on Instagram at N8EY.
Yeah,
other than that, I'm out.
Thanks, guys.
All right, I'm AP Xander for Instagram and all that stuff. You want to check me out?
Thanks so much for your time, guys. I really appreciate it.
Bye,
yeah,
guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
All right. Well, like I said, guys, let's get a little bit of the nuts and bolts here. Talk about you guys crowdfund this series, or do you have you guys have someone backing you on this, or how are we getting this made these days? Webisodes or web series are kind of so dependent on a lot of different factors. How are you guys working this?
Well,
season one, Paul and I did out of our own pocket. Everything was, 100% out of our pocket. Olivia in season one, our director of photography, Olivia Kwan, was so generous with her time and her input. And so we were able to make it happen just with, you know, the very meager budget that we had. Season two,
food
we did
drink.
Do a little crowd.
I said, we paid, you know, food and drink is basically all we paid for.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, we fed everyone and all that stuff. Season two, we did do a little bit of crowdfunding. So we were able to improve some things and, you know, we had a better camera package as a result and things like that. It's hard. It's hard to put the money together, but, you know, with some ingenuity and, you know, limiting locations and being creative with how you stage things, you can turn one location into a lot of different places. I remembered the movie version of Hedwig and the Angry Inch that was John Karen Mitchell made and took to Sundance way back in the day. And they have all these scenes of the band playing in all these different bars. And they rented out one restaurant for one night and changed the camera to different corner and just changed the dressing in each corner to make it look like a totally different bar.
I love that.
They got six different locations out of one place. And that's a big money saver.
Which is really what we did in season two.
Yeah.
Charlie, how are you finding your projects these days? Are you into the creating your own as well, or are you more in the directing mode now, or what's your focus right now?
Yeah, so it's I was very fortunate in that the first film I did was self-funded and a little bit of crowdfunded, and then I fell into a situation where distribution companies had a little bit of money and they wanted to create content, which is how Vampire Boys and a couple of my first features happened. The game changer for me was when I directed a film called First Period, which was largely private funding and then a little bit of crowdfunding. And so ever since then, it's just been dependent upon whatever the scope of the project is. You mentioned Terry Ray, you had on as a guest a while back. He's a cast member of a web series that I'm producing this year called Child of the 70s, and we are doing corporate sponsorship and crowdfunding. And I've also am working with an actor and writer who we're going to be doing some sketches, and those are going to be self-funded because it's just, you know, a couple hundred bucks to do those. So it really, I'm a firm believer in, if you're not seeing the kind of content that you want to see, create it yourself. And that's what I think Paul has done, and that's what I've seen Paul and Bree do with theater pieces that I've been involved with them. And it's something that I'm striving to do much more in 2017, is just create my own, regardless of the size of the budget. So yeah, it's a little bit all over the map with how my projects come to fruition.
That's awesome. And the thing that amazes me about like all three of you that are doing these independent projects and stuff, it gets so creative. you were talking childhood 70s. Michael Vaccaro has been on the show, and I love that he's now doing colognes, and you're doing everything, candles, anything you can do to get ahead. But he builds his brands on it too, which is great. Brand recognition is becoming so important in the LGBT community, because I don't think no one's tried that before. You have a few main distributors, but I really like that you guys are kind of getting yourself out there. And a third season has got to be very gratifying for you, right, Paul?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure, man. I'm not trying to make a dollar off of this. I'm just doing it for entertainment, you know? Bree and I can pat ourselves on the back and say we're good at a lot of things. What we're not good at is getting people to give us money.
That's a true
and
story.
And so we take it the easy way, and we pull it out of our pocket. You know, I set up it's called Pantea, Pantea?
Patreon.
It's a new
Patreon.
Thank you. I set it up. I kind of half-assed it, and we got a couple of wonderful donations already. But before we release, we're going to really zoom it up a little bit and try to pay for what we're spending this season.
Great. That's important.
But
I think
really,
it's so important.
We're really, really bad at it.
Well, I think it's hard. It's hard for anybody. I do the same thing to my show. This is all totally self. Internet radio is a great forum to have, but it's all paid for by yourself. We're not serious where we have people paying us to do this. And so you have to find creative ways of finance to get this done. So I applaud you and for all of the talent that you guys bring together. I just think it's amazing. So that's just a great job on all of you there. But let's go into some of my questions I have now. Tell me what you can say and what you can't say. I talked to you off air a little bit. I need to know what happened to Matt and the mysterious guy in Jordy. Are we going to find out anything about that in season 3?
Not maybe.
I told you I saw the story. Oh, I'm sorry I had these questions. Just say you can't answer. That's fine. That's good.
I'll tell you this. You will never see Jordy again.
Okay. That's good to know.
Well, maybe for a moment, but then something will happen. And anyway, It's hard.
I understand. You don't have to deny or admit, but like I said, just seeing the picture of Shannon coming on, I see Shannon as either Eric or Jordy. I'm not saying anything. You don't have to say anything. No comments needed, but that's my guess, and I want a prize if I win when I tune in on the 14th of February.
What is your guess?
My guess, I think that Shannon is look like Eric or Jordy, but the name's different, so I don't know. But that's who you say it's a different time. I don't know. It just makes me think that. I don't know.
Oh, because they're blonde.
Well, just the curly hair, the real curly hair and everything, too. Yeah, the blonde a little bit and the curly hair.
Yeah.
It's all that. But I'm invested in them. I want to see what's happening. I like that we had the mysterious guy that we never really saw too much.
You know,
and
Scott, we left that storyline wasn't picking up so much, and so we did drop it for season 2. It does return in season 3, but with the success of This Is Us, I kind of thought, well, because it's very much like This Is Us, the NBC show.
Right.
Which, by the way, we had that idea first. Just want to throw that out there. and by the way, the middle of their name is ISIS. No, I'm just joking. I just realized that. That's weird.
That's funny.
But with the success of This Is Us, it's like, okay, well, that story is dead. They're going to think we took it from them. So I think we're mostly going to focus on the youngins.
All right. Well, my last question, and then we'll wrap things up here. I was really starting to get into Travis's character a bit in the end. Are we going to see Travis in season 3?
I promise you, you will see Travis in season 3.
All right, then I'll be a little happy. I'm probably not going to be happy the way I'm going to see him, but that's okay.
And that's,
I love it.
And Bree and Charlie did not know that.
Yeah, I almost just said, really?
There was three shots at the end, so I don't know. It's like, where were the three shots from? I don't know. Did she take two shots in the glass? I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you the trick to that, Scott, is we still have a lot of unused footage from season two.
I gotcha. Very cool. All right, well, guys, let's go ahead and wrap this up. I really want to thank all three of you for being on the show. It's been amazing talking to all of you. Thank you so much. Paul, give us the rundown on all the social media where they can follow you and find you.
Yes, I will post it right now.
Okay, yeah, tell our listeners, too, so they have it on here and they can listen to it.
And by the way, it's gossipboyseries.com, and they can also, if they have a Deku account, they can watch it on Deku.
Beautiful. And Bree, when is it going to be the premiere?
February 14th, I believe.
Actually, we postponed it to March. The dates are on our social media.
Oh, good. Okay. That's important to know. Well, guys, thanks so much for coming on. I want to do a huge shout out. Thank you so much to all of you guys. Bree Pavey, Charlie Vaughn, Paul Storial. Guys, stay on the line for me. We'll go ahead and wrap it up together here. I'm going to play a little outro here. This is Jay Knight, Hotter Than the Sun, because that's exactly what I think the series is. You're listening to Left of Straight Show. We've been talking to the creators of the hit web series Gossip Boy. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.
Thank you.
I'm here to reflect your light. It's the only reason that I live. We've been running from the moment that we realized we were smoking a fire that burns deep through. This is the story of what is left.
Air Back. That was our good friend Jay Knight with Hotter Than the Sun. Guys, I hope you enjoyed today's show. It was so much fun talking to these people. This is a great web series. Look it up on YouTube. Go to their website, gossipboyseries.com, and let's watch the first two episodes. We're going to have season three debuting in March. We're supposed to be February 14th. We're going to move back to March now, finishing a little bit of editing because I asked some questions, and now they're going to – so you know Paul, he's going to sneaky edit some things so to fake all of us out. But that was a great interview. Thank you so much to the entire group of people who came on. That was, again, we had Paul Storial. We have Bree Pavey, Charlie Vaughn, Alex Polson, Nathan Shoup, and Preston Bailey on the show. So excited to talk to all of them today. Check them out. Tomorrow, if you join us back here at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, standing on our soapbox with the great actor and singer Gaetano Jones from the excellent LGBT film 3-Day Weekend. Guys, thanks so much for being part of the Left to Straight show today. You can always follow me on social media, on Twitter and Instagram, at Left of Straight. That's LeftOfStr and the number 8. And on Facebook, it's Left of Straight Show page, or you can follow me personally at Scott Fullerton. And you can go ahead and download our free app on your iPhone or Android. Go to your app store on your phone, type in Left of Straight Show. It'll pop up. It's a free app. You'll never miss any of our episodes. Thanks again for being part of the Left of Straight family, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.